this world, God is still on the throne. Amen. And His compassion, His love for you is real. It's on the move. And He wants right now, this very moment, to touch you with that grace, to touch you with that love, and just let you know that He has it covered. Amen. Jesus has it covered. All these things that are going on, Jesus has it covered. As you know, last week we were teaching about the different kingdoms, how there's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of holiness, and that kingdom we need to be holding on to. And then there's a lot of other little bitty kingdoms, the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of darkness, and how they're at a constant battle, a constant war with one another. And as we are in this day and time, I think that the battle lines are clear. Probably more clear today than they've ever been in my life. I'm not as mature as some of you, all right? Some of y'all are very mature, all right, George? You're very, very mature, right? When I say mature, I could have said old. But mature sounded better, right? And so, amen. And God knows what time it is.
That's right.
He knows where we're at, and He absolutely has a plan.
Amen.
And last week we're talking about that plan, how to stay in His plan, how not to be caught up with the ways of this world. And, you know, because it's so easy, you know, for the Christian to say, well, this sounds good, and I want to join myself to this thing. But if you look at that kingdom, that thing, it actually has its roots in darkness and evil and witchcraft and adulteries and in fornications and things like that. And it has, that's where it comes from. And the Word of God tells us that we need not be unequally joined with the unbelievers. And so as I finished that sermon last week, I had a saint in the Lord ask me a question. And I love those. Thank you so much. And she asked this wonderful, born-again, spirit-filled lady, asked, well, yes, since these things are real, we're seeing all these things happening, what to do? What should the church do in this, our day and time? And who here is ready for that? Who needs to know what to do? I gave this a little bit of thought.
Amen.
I was praying about it. I was seeking the Lord. And God said, hey, Curtis, knucklehead, read your Bible, right? I told you what the church is supposed to do in the last times, in the last book, right? So in the Revelation, the answer is for what the condition of the church is, how God knows what's going on, how to become an overcomer, and how to rest in the rewards of being that overcomer. Amen. So today we're going to be in that. We're going to be talking about that and looking in it, because I think that right now in this time that we're in, the responsibility of the body of Christ is paramount.
Amen.
All right. It's paramount. What we as the living hands and feet and breath of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that you are God. Don't get me into that. Okay. Because you're not. You're a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
But because you're saved by grace, there's certain things God has for you. And you and you and you and me. Right? And how to live in these last days. Because it's going to get worse and worse. It's going to wax worse and worse. The evil are going to be more evil. That's okay. Because our God is more holy than all the evilness that's out there. Amen? And He gave us some things that we need to know. So what is the responsibility of the body of Christ in these last days? So let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick, and we will open up our Bibles to the book, to the unveiling, the revelation, and we'll be in chapters 2 and 3 today. Father, we thank You so much for Your love, for Your grace, for Your goodness. I thank You, Father, even as we're about ready to open Your Word, Lord, I pray that my mind would be clear and pure and in line with Your Word. Yes. Father, there's oftentimes, and I confess this before the body of Christ and before You, Lord, that sometimes I get in my own way. Lord, my mind starts doing things even as it's doing now. Lord, and I need You. I need Your Holy Spirit. I need You to fix my mind, Lord God. that I can proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. And Lord, I thank you for that. I also pray for the church, for your people, Father God, that are here congregated together. I pray, Father, that as the Spirit speaks, they will hear what you have to say to them. Lord, and I thank you for that. Or to us. It's not just them, it's to us. Yes. Father, and help us to be obedient to the things yes. which you've called us to. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' high and mighty name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we've been, like we talked about, looking at some of the evidence of the last times. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at, who here's been seeing some prophecies fulfilled about the last days, the things that are supposed to happen? You see those things happening? I see them happening. Now, I'm not saying that this is the end of time. This ain't what I'm saying. But I'm saying we are closer than what we were before, all right? It is time for the body of a Christ to awake. I feel like an Italian. Hey, it's the time for you to wake up, Bob. What's the matter for you? Wake up. So anyhow, it's time to wake up. It's time for us to become aware of the acceptable day of the Lord. The things that are going on are not a shock to God. They're just a shock to us. And they're a shock to us because we haven't been in tune to what the Spirit of God says through His written word.
Amen?
And so I'm not standing here as a prophet before you. I'm standing here as a pastor before you, proclaiming what the Bible says. All right? So let's get our thoughts, our ideas out of the way if they don't line up with the Word of God. Because if I say something that doesn't line up with God's Word, guess who's wrong? Me! I would be, right? So we're going to try our best to stay in the Word of God. Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we went over this several times. You can check it if you want to, but I'm pretty sure we're close to the exact words. In the King James Bible, chapter 4 and verse 1, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils, and speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. This is exactly where the church is right now. All right? This is where the body of Christ is right now. For too many years, we've been giving heed to seducing spirits. For too many years, we've been having our conscience seared as with a hot iron. For the last 50 years, maybe even 100 years, there's not been much fire from the pulpits. All right? I'm not blaming the people. I'm blaming the pastors. I'm blaming the seminaries or cemeteries that pastors go to that the Spirit of God is being snuffed out in their life. And now they're too afraid to preach the Word because they have this huge, great big building that costs millions of dollars a month to keep running. And if I make you mad, you won't pay. Right? As you notice, we don't pass a plate here. You know why? Because my God has cattle on 1,000 hills. If he was hungry, he wouldn't tell me. If he was thirsty, he wouldn't tell me that. He's got it all under control.
Amen.
But if you, in your heart, you desire to make an offering unto the Lord, there's a box in the back. Your business, not mine. All right? So we ain't asking you. God lays it on your heart. Take care of it. The reason I prayed that my mind wouldn't go there, and my mind went there. Right? So I'm still wrapped in flesh. So as I get into this, I want you to know I have not made it. Right? I am not perfect yet, but I'm getting better every day. And but anyhow, doesn't matter. Let's get back to the Word. All right. So this is exactly what's happening right now. That the churches have moved away from the holiness of God. We've moved away from sound doctrine. We've started listening to the lies and the hypocrisy and what other men think the Bible says. I'm not overly concerned what man thinks about what the Bible says. I'm really concerned about what the Bible says.
Amen.
All right? I don't care what you think about it. It has no relevancy to what really is. And so, as we're asking, or this question came up last week. So in the times that we're living, Seth, can I move this? I'm afraid I'm going to trip over it.
Yes.
Is there any special way to pick it up?
Well, it's in two pieces. Go ahead and pick up the snare. Okay.
Yeah, right.
That's good.
All right, because I walk around a lot, I can see myself fall right off the end of the stage here. And so In these last times, or in the times that we're ending in, we've seen the light of the Spirit, the power of God, being snuffed out or darkened or dimmed in the church around the world. And the reason that it's being lightened or dark or dimmed out a little bit, it's kind of like a dimmer switch. Who has dimmer switches in their house? Right? You turn on the light and you turn it up, turn it down. And the difference is how much electricity flows through that circuit. The problem, or one of the many problems in the body of Christ today, is we have our dimmer switch turned way down, and the Holy Spirit is being stopped from having free flow into your life because we're listening to things that are not in the Word of God, right? We're listening to different doctrines, we're listening to different people, pastors, that kind of stuff, and we need to get back to the very Word of God. So in this last time, Jesus wrote, or I had John the Apostle write in the unveiling, in the revelation, and Jesus talks to seven churches who have certain characteristics, the churches of Ephesus and Samaria and Pergamos and Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And often I've taught this and broke those down into just little blocks, right? Have you always heard them broke down into little blocks? Well, this is the church, and that's their problem. Now, when you read it all together in one breath, you'll get a different view. Not a different view from the Word of God, but I think in chopping it up in small bites and start picking out little problems with each church, we miss the greater revelation that Jesus was trying to say to the church in the last days. Okay, not the church of Ephesus, not necessarily the church of Samaria, not necessarily this little pocket of believers, but as the body of Christ as a whole, right? Because there are a lot of churches in that time. There are a lot of gatherings, a lot of ecclesia, people that come together for the worshiping of God and His Word. And so I'm going to read 51 verses real quick. Yeah, I'm not going to get all tied up in it, but we're just going to start in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. So if you have your Bible, open it. If you don't have a Bible, ask for one. We'll get you one. Everybody got a Bible? All right. If you have one that works on the computer thing and you're having a hard time getting into it, hang it up and we'll give you a paper Bible. Amen. One that never doesn't need no batteries. All right. Don't need no light. You got everything you need. And so Jesus speaking to John, he says, unto the churches, unto the angel, or the messenger, the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst bear them which are evil, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne, and has patience for my name's sake, and has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick from his place. No, not its, but his place, right? His place, except thou repent. Now this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. We'll get into that a little bit later. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And to the church of Samaria write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty. But thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say that they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos, Write these things, saith he, which hath the sharp two-edged sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was the faithful martyr who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there which hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or I will come quickly. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receiveth it. And to the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and patience, and thy works, the last, be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I give her a space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that committed adultery with her unto great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searched the reins and the hearts, which means the minds and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and I write, I say unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as a vessel of a potter shall be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father, I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know the hour that I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, and openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them, I will make them come and worship before my feet, thy feet, and thou, and worship before thy feet, and know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to which thou hast, that no man take away thy crown. He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and with white raiment, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my Father's throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down in my Father's throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen?
Amen.
Bless the word of the Lord. Let me ask you this. Did you hear what the Spirit said to the churches?
Yes.
All right, real plain and simple. There's a lot of scripture right there. But I like scripture, all right? Because if you stick to the scripture, you don't get your mind in the way. Amen? And so he is speaking not just to individual churches, but he's speaking to seven churches in an area. And those churches hold the characteristics of every single body of believers throughout all of time. We all have some of these problems. Amen?
Amen.
What church is perfect?
None
of them. So what must any church do? Starts with re and ends in pent. Repent. Right? First, you got to understand what God is expecting out of you. Right? What God expects out of his church. And if you're not lining up with what God expects out of his church, change. Repent. Go back to the first things. If you look what he said, go back to your first love. Go back to where you first had things right before you got religion all mixed up in the relationship. And you walked away from the holiness that God gave you. And you messed things up. The church of the world, the church in the world today, has been so long taught doctrine that is contrary to what God's word is. That's why we're in the mess that we're in today.
Absolutely.
That is why, like we asked last week, why do the heathen rage? It's because they don't know the one true God. They don't know the one true God. Why don't they know the one true God? Because the body of Christ is not representing the God of the Bible. We have too much of the world in the boat. We got too much darkness. We got too many lies. We got too many secrets. We got too many things that we're trying to cover it up with good works that is not lining up with the righteousness of God. So what is the church supposed to do in this day and time? I'm glad you asked. Amen? Because I believe that the Spirit of God said to seven different churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, and to him that overcomes, I will give. So what does it mean to be an overcomer? Anyone, come on.
Stay the course.
Stay the course, all right. Stay which course? Because there's a lot of courses out there.
Stand in faith and believe in the Word of God.
Amen. As I've said in several sermons past, if the church truly believed what they say they believe is real, do you believe that there's a coming judgment?
Yes.
Amen? Do you believe it enough to walk in the fear of God?
Yes.
All right? So, go ahead.
Overcome.
Victory. It's victory. We need
to surmount.
Surmount, to overcome. So there's something coming against us. When Satan comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. He raises up a standard. He raises up his flag. He raises up holiness. He raises up righteousness. He raises up the body of Christ. Now, what happens if that flag, that standard that he raises up, has more mud on it than the righteousness of God? The people around get confused.
Who calls to the battle?
Who calls to the battle? Who's going to sound that trumpet? Who's going to be the one that says this far and no further? Who's going to be the one that says, God says, and I don't care what the rest of the world says, God says it's this way. We are the body of Christ,
amen.
Right? We are his hands, his feet in this time that we're living. And he says, listen, if we don't repent, if we don't get right, he very well can come and take his candlestick outside of the church. There's a lot of churches right now, right here in America, in this area, in the surrounding counties here, that are so filled with man's doctrine that the light of God can't shine through.
Amen?
Amen. Or it won't. I won't say it can't. I'll say it won't. The reason that it won't, God won't drink out of a dirty cup, no more than I will. Had anybody been to a restaurant and you take a big old, it's probably been months since you've been to a restaurant. Anyhow, in your own kitchen, how about that? You get your big old nice glass of orange juice and you're drinking it down, and about time you get to the bottom of the cup, you see that milk ring on the bottom? Can you identify? I tell you what, I stopped drinking right then. You know, although I'm drinking it, I'll stop right then. When God starts using his body of Christ, he's asking us to be holy, to be just, to be righteous. In this wicked day that we're living in, he's asking us to be pure. He's asking us, he's saying, church, examine yourself. Find out where you're not in God's word. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. All right? That's what he's asking the church to do today. Amen? And so he said, to the church of Ephesus, repent and return. Repent. Let me ask you this. Have you left your first love?
No.
Praise God for one of us. All right. Now for the rest of us, if we're really honest, all right, and I'll be honest with you, when I first got saved,
yeah.
Oh, there was a zeal.
Yeah.
Oh, there was an excitement. You couldn't get around me without me just preaching to you till you ran me off with a stick, right? I had a zeal. I had a fire on the inside that was lit by the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah.
But because of people, because of pressures of the world, because of life circumstances, although the ember is there, the flame is not. What happened? I started fearing man more than I started fearing God. Amen? And not that the fire has gone out, but it's definitely come down, simmer down, right? So what do I need to do to get that fire back? Where do I need to go?
Jesus.
Amen. You go to Jesus. You go to the Word of God. And you start believing what God says way more than what man says. I believe that God is absolutely sovereign. He's absolutely in control. He's absolutely driving this bus. Amen? And so how about the scaredness of the virus? All right? But there's a lot of people, Christians, born-again believers, that are too afraid to congregate. Amen? There's a lot of, and I ain't throwing stones at nobody.
They're scared, and my heart bleeds for them. But what my heart's really scared for is the pastors that are afraid. Yeah. Amen? Because if it ain't coming from the pulpit, it ain't going to the people. Right? And so you guys need to encourage your pastor. All right? I said this in a park last Sunday after church, and praise God, I believe that that happened in some places. I heard some testimonies. But we need to come back. You as an individual, come back to the foot of the cross.
Amen.
Come back to that first day you got saved. Come back to that Spirit of God that's alive and breathing and dwelling and desires you to be a fire wherever you go. Amen. Desires you to be a light that shines into darkness. Desires you to be that city built on a hill that cannot be hid.
Amen.
Well, who lights a candle and puts it under a bushel basket, right? Who does that? Unfortunately, 90% of the Christians. Oh, I have the light of God, but I got to hide it. Oh, man, I got to hide it. Because my boss doesn't like it, because my neighbor doesn't like it, because my children don't like it. I'm going to hide the fire of God so that I can be friends with the world. Don't be unequally yoked. What portion does the body of Christ have with wickedness? And we're not supposed to be dimming out in these last days. We're supposed to be burning out. Amen. We're supposed to have a fire. We're supposed to have a zeal. We got to get back to that first love.
Amen.
Getting back to the first love.
Right.
God says that you can do it. You can do it. And if we'll flip back there, there's some ways to do it to the church of Ephesus. He says, I know your works. One thing about each of these churches, is God fooled?
No.
How much of your works does he know?
Every
single one of them. You ain't hiding nothing. Don't think that you're hiding it.
Ooh, I'm hiding my work.
No, God knows your work. You are the church. Your name may not be Ephesus, but it might be Curtis. Might be Mike. Might be George. You know? You are the church, right? And he says, I know your works. I know how you labor. I know how you're patient. I know that you can't bear them which are evil. I know that he has all these good things. And thou has borne and hast patience for my name's sake, and has labored and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have something against you, because you left your first love. And he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent and do your first works. So what is the church supposed to do right now? Repent and do what? Your first works. So when you first got saved, what was the first thing you did in the morning?
Pray.
When you wake up today, what's the first thing you do?
Pray.
All right? The rest of you, what's the first thing that you do? All right? I guarantee it's not like it used to be. When I used to wake up in the morning, I would fall on my face before God. I would confess my sin. I would confess the sin of our nation. I would pray for my loved ones that were lost. I would ask God to give me somebody to witness to.
Amen.
Not that I don't do that anymore, but I don't do it the way that I used to. Amen? I used to do it with faith, knowing that God would hear my prayer.
Amen.
And have holding a God. If I pray that I can witness to somebody, guess what? God's going to bring somebody in my life.
Amen.
I can witness to. Right? If I would pray for the salvation of my sons, I say, God, I know that you're God. I know you want them saved. I know this. I'm praying for them. And it's not that I don't pray for them, but this has been 30 plus years now. They still ain't saved. Kind of getting weary. Oh, well, the Bible says something about that too, huh? Don't be weary in good works. But, I mean, at real life, doesn't it get tough? You're praying for healing, they don't seem to get healed. Right? Does that mean we shouldn't keep praying?
Pray more.
Pray more. Amen, brother. That means you need to pray more. That means you need to get to where you can understand God in such a way that to know that he is in control.
Amen. Right.
You know, maybe it's that they won't get healed. You ever think of that? But God. Amen. Maybe they will never get healed on this side of eternity. Maybe not. But I know one thing. If they know the Lord Jesus Christ, they will someday be healed.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And I also know this about my sons. If they don't repent and come to Jesus, unless the Lord moves on them, when they die, they're going to go to hell. Right? And I love my boys. I love my boys. But when they were young, when they were little bitty, when I had a chance to train them up, I wasn't a Christian. Right? And I put my fingerprints of unrighteousness in their life. And it's going to take a miracle. The only where do miracles come from?
Exactly.
From God. Same way I got saved. Right? Same way you got saved. It was a miracle. But God knew it. He knew you before the foundations of the world. Right? He called your name before he ever formed the planet. He knew who you were.
Amen.
And he loved you in the middle of your sin. He loves my kids. He loves them. But I want to see them saved now. Amen. Because I know the word, the years that I burned out, that I lost and I can never get back. You can never get this moment back 5 seconds from now. Can't get it. Because it's come and it's gone. There's no way to get it back. God says, listen, remember, do your first works. And if you don't do your first works, I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick from his place. Not from its place. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now you look in the Old Testament where people were filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit left them. They didn't even know it. The first king of Jerusalem, Saul, right? When the Holy Spirit left him, he didn't even know he was gone. Samson, one of the first judges. Samson, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit left him, you know, we can go to Delilah and all that. But the base is that the Holy Spirit left him. He didn't even know that the Holy Spirit left him. Many people who are in the church today, in the church building, call themselves Christians. The Holy Spirit has left them and they don't even realize it. Because they're stuck in their religion and left the relationship. Well, I still go to church 3 times a week, and I still pay my tithe, I still jump through the hoops, I still count my beads, right? I still do this, I still do that. Jesus said, many will come to me. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven,
Amen.
But he that doeth my Father's will. Many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not done many great things, right? And Jesus says, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Amen.
Right. He's talking to church people. Right? He's talking to church folks. And he says, return, repent, come back, do your first works. Oh, when I was, it was a joy to pray to the Lord. It was a joy to read the Word. And it still is. But when I was first saved, man, there was nothing I liked more than to get alone with God. Right? I would take those jobs that would keep me on the road 7-8 hours. You know why? Because I would pray as I drove. Almost wrecked a lot. Never close your eyes and lift your hands unto the Lord when you're driving. Okay. Sheriff will tell you, don't do that. That's a bad thing. Don't do that. But anyhow, you see, and he says, I know your works. I know your labor. I know that you can't stand them which are evil, but you left your first love. And he says, I know that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, the things which I also hate. Now, what is, if God says he hates something, do you think you ought to know what it is?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, Nicolaitans is 2 Greek words, Nico and Laodis or Laikotis, and it means ruling over the laity. All right, that's the breakdown of the word. But there's through some deeper research, the last of the 7 deacons, the first 7 deacons, his name was Nicholas.
That's right.
Acts chapter 6, right? And Nicholas, he was a proselyte of Antioch. Okay, and so what he brought into the church, he was the only deacon that wasn't directly out of the original body of Christ that was in Jerusalem.
And so what he brought in was a works-type relationship and worshiping idols, you know? And so he, that work that Jesus hates is when the laity, the pastors rule over the church saying, only me, only I know the word of God. Right? And he hates that. All right, I'm going to tell you what to do because I said that's the way to do it. And if you have a pastor like that, first, get out of that body because God hates that. All right? That person that's preaching, he's not God and he ain't the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know what he is? He's a sinner just like you.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
So get that squared away in your heart and your mind to start with. And the other thing is if he is leading you into a works-based salvation, your works ain't going to get you to heaven. I don't care how good you are, that ain't good enough. Right? You might be better than me, but you ain't good as God.
Amen.
Amen? And if you compare yourself to me, you might look pretty shiny. You might look really good. But when you compare yourself to Christ, you are nothing more than
Amen.
Filthy rags.
Yeah. Right.
So that's who the comparison needs to be. And so you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the second thing, he talks to the church, and remember this is the church of a whole. He says, in Samaria, be prepared to suffer. You don't hear about that from many pulpits nowadays, the suffering of being a Christian. Do you know that if you really walk with Jesus Christ correctly, the world's going to hate you? Jesus said, know this, if they persecuted me, dog, you ain't getting out of it. They're going to persecute you too. If you stand for righteousness, for holiness, if you love people in the middle of the mess, and you give your life as a sacrifice to them, they're going to hate you for it.
Amen.
Do it anyhow.
Right.
Amen. Do it anyway.
Yes.
And this day that we're living, this time that we're living right now, the world hates the Christian. Mm-hmm. You know why?
Increasingly,
and it's getting worse and worse. The closer that we get to the end of our time, the closer that we get to the coming of the Lord, the more the world will hate you. That's okay. I would rather be hated by the world than hated by God. Amen? The world's not going to judge me. The Lord's going to judge me. Right? And so this church of Samaria says, I know your works. I know what's going on in you. I know how you work. I know of your tribulation and your poverty. Oh, but you're rich. Amen?
Yeah.
You know why you're rich? Because you're preparing. How can I share the glory of God if I don't participate in the sufferings of Christ?
Amen.
So, church, in these last days, be prepared to suffer. All right? Be prepared. Just suck it up, buttercup. Right? It's going to get hard. And it's going to get harder the closer it is to the end. The wicked are going to get more wickeder, right?
Yeah.
But the more wickeder they become, the more like light you ought to be.
Amen.
The more you sit the line in your yard and say, that far no further. All right? That far no further. I'm going to love you, but I'm not going to be a part of you.
Amen.
I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. I will suffer for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to take your vaccine. I'm not going to wear your mask. And I'm darn sure not going to bow before your God.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
I'm not doing it. You're going to hate. I'm going to be called a bigot because of that. I'm going to be called a hater because of that. I'm going to be called a hater because it's not just black lives that matter, but it's eternal life that matters.
Yeah.
Eternal life is the only one that matters because God don't care what color you are. Either you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. The only life that matters is the one that's given over to Jesus Christ. Repent. Don't touch that unclean thing. Love them. Care for them. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. If he's naked, clothe him with your clothes. But don't wallow in the mud with him.
No.
You are separate. You're separate. All right? When you do that, they're going to hate you. All right?
Some of you will be tried. Some of you will have tribulation. I like it. He says it's just for a short time, 10 days. When this thing happens, it's just going to happen for a little while. Remember, how long is your life in the face of God? A vapor. You know, you're just a burp in the breeze. That's all you are. Hey, you're not going to live forever. That's just a real short time. So a short time, 10 days, you'll be tried. You'll have tribulation. Be thou faithful unto death. All right? Who's ready to be faithful until they kill you? Amen? You've got to be prepared to die for the faith.
Amen.
Living's easy. Oh, man. Living's easy. What's the church supposed to be doing in this time? Loving people, sharing the life of Jesus Christ, sharing the love, being his hands, his feet, not just in this time, but in the time that Jesus was talking about. He said, you need to be an overcomer. Amen? In verse 11, he that overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Woohoo! Praise God! All right? Yeah, so what? They're going to burn me at the stake. Big deal. Weenie roast? So what? You died. So what is painful? Only for a second?
Yeah.
It's not going to last forever. You know what does last forever? Eternity.
Right.
This faithful servant. Where was he? Antipas, wasn't he? I don't know if he's in this one. Antipas is in the next one. And so, and the angel to the church of Pergamos write these things. I know your works, all right, that thou dwellest even where Cuomo's seat is. Oh, sorry, it's the same, but almost the same thing, right? Where Cuomo's seat is, and thou holdest fast to the name of Christ, to my name. Thou hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Cuomo dwelleth. We'll keep doing that because I think it's about the same. I know it's not good to change the word of God. It says Satan. And so where Lucifer dwells. But I think Cuomo and Lucifer are in the same wagon.
Yeah.
Amen. Not a lot of difference between them.
Yeah.
Pelosi, Schumer,
Ocasio-Cortez.
What's her name? Ocasio-Cortez. Anyhow, there's a whole crew of them out there. Right? And I'm not throwing stones at those folks. They're caught in the snare of Satan. And they can get saved just like you can. And I shouldn't be picking on them like that. So please forgive me. So, you know, when I prayed right to start with, that I wouldn't take any part of it, there I go. You just saw me. The ugly, dirty guy just slipped out.
You're a human, aren't you?
I am. I'm a woo-man. I'm a woo-man. And so he says, listen, this faithful martyr, Antipas. Now, Antipas, he was living in a very wicked time just like us, right? He was a proselyte. He was he studied under John the Apostle. All right, now the religious leaders and the government leaders of the day told him that he must stop preaching. He said, I ain't going to stop. They said, you got to shut your churches for so many weeks. And he said, I ain't going to stop. They said that you got to wear a mask when you come together. He says, I ain't wearing no mask. I ain't doing it. Not going to do it. Isn't prudent at this juncture. Not going to do it. Right? And so you know what they did to him? They took him to their false god. And what this was a place where they would take, they would take infants and they would take things like that and they would, it was a big cow-looking thing. And it had pipes on the inside. And when you put living humans in there, they would cry out. Of course they would. Because they would heat it till it was cherry or white hot. All right, and they took Antipas, and this is from Fox's Book of Martyrs, I believe. They took Antipas, they tied him up in such a way that only his head could go into the furnace. All right, and so they stuck him in there, shoulder deep. All right, and he was a faithful martyr to Christ. And it was said that as they heated up the oxen that he was in, he continually preached the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? Until his head burnt slap off of his body. So So as his face was melting, as his skin was roasting, he was preaching the gospel, a faithful martyr. And you think that you're being persecuted in America today? Buckle up, baby. It's going to get a little worse. Amen. I haven't seen anybody get tied up to the altar down here in the middle of Caledonia yet, but I do believe it's coming. Right?
Yeah. But God will give us special grace.
Amen.
Humans could not go through.
No, they couldn't do it. And it
so
takes.
We must remember.
Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to give you that power. It's the Holy, absolutely, it's the Holy Spirit that gives you that power. And remember, it's only for a short time.
Yeah.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death.
Woohoo!
Amen. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place. All right, this is back. He says verse 13 talks about Antipas. I gave you a little bit of history about him. I know the things that I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat the things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication. You got to go back to the book of Numbers, and look at that. I want to make sure it is Numbers. Yeah, Numbers chapter 22 talks about it. And there's a prophet of God. And he was a prophet of God, all right? God had his Holy Spirit on him, and he was given proper things. And Balak said, hey, I need an ungodly person. He wasn't even part of the Hebrew faith, all right? And he says, hey, you know what would really help our side out? We need one of them holy men. We need a holy man on our side, you know? And so they found a holy man for hire. I'll preach it for the gospel. I'll preach it for the money. Buy me an airplane. You buy me an airplane, man, I'll preach for you. Heal you, you demon, come out. See, there I go again. What? And so that doctrine of Balaam, it's somebody who will preach for hire. And Balaam asked Balak. Balak said, I'll give you anything that you need. I'll give you my own personal house. But Balak said that to Balaam. And Balaam said, listen, I don't just want your house. I want your house filled with silver and gold. If you do that, I'll do the other. So Balak said, no problem, man. Here, you want some change? Pocket change, man. I'll give you a house full of gold. No sweat. Now think of this in the churches today. How many pastors will preach for nothing? Amen? You know? I'll tell you what I make. No, well, that's not it. Again, there I go. Right? So that was one of the things. And the stumbling block that he gave from Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to just kind of overlay this with you. So if it's not exact, forgive me. It's coming from my mind. All right, so what he did, Israel had been defeating all the nations around him. Balak was coming to curse them. Every time he tried to curse them, he was only able to bless them. Because God wouldn't allow him to curse him because he was still God's man. He couldn't curse Israel. Balak was getting pretty mad. Listen, dude, I gave you my house full of gold. What? No, I'm going to take my money back. Balaam says, listen, here's what you need to do. You get these pretty girls. All right, get them to camp around the Hebrew men. And you know how guys are. Guys are going to do what guys do. And so the guys started committing whoredoms with these women. Who?
Edomites?
Edomites. Anyhow, it was a group of people.
Moabites,
yes. Yeah. The more I bite you, the more you like it. So anyhow, the Moabites. Oh. I'm sorry. They were the Midianites. Sorry, Midianites. So they were just medium height and Midianites. And so anyhow, they what happened is they started having sexual relationship with them, and they started bringing sacrifices to the false gods into the camp, and God dealt with Israel and made them lose the battle. Because the people of God got involved with the unrighteousness of God,
And you can't take unrighteousness and bind it with righteousness and come out righteous. I've used this analogy before, and it works so good. All right, if you had a huge bucket of really, really clean water right here, right? And you took some dog excrement and you dumped it in that water, did it just make that excrement clean? Or did it pollute the water? All right, you take the way of the world, you put it in you, it's polluting you.
Amen.
All right?
Right,
you're not cleaning it.
Right.
Missionary dating doesn't work. All right? I'm going to bury that person. I'm going to bring him to the Lord. Know that you're going to be drugged down to hell with them. That's what's going to happen. And so, anyhow, that's that. And he says, listen, the Spirit knows what's up. He says in verse 16, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear. Who wants to fight against God? Not me. I do not want to fight against God.
Amen.
So God says, listen, don't be yoked up with those who are dragging you down. Anybody here swim? Any? You swim just a little bit?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to swim holding a cinder block? You might make it a little way, but sooner or later that's going to drag you down. What do you got to do? You got to let go of it.
Right?
Right? You cannot live holy and hold on to this world. It will drown you.
Amen.
Right? So God's telling that to that church, listen, you got to let go of those things. You got to let go of the Nicolaitan worship. You've got to let go of that false doctrine, that doctrine of Balaam. You've got to get that. It's a stumbling block for the people. And he says that they eight things sacrificed to idols and they committed fornication in verse 14. So in verse 15, so hast thou also them that have the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. So this church had compromised and got into that works religion. God says, I hate that. They compromised and said, only the priest knows what I need to do. Right? And I don't know. My wife, she was a Catholic. I've never been involved in the Catholic religion. But from what I understand, you go to Mass, right? And then after or before, around there sometime, they have you walk into that little box, right? And you tell the priest, Father, forgive me because I choked 12 hamsters. I'm drowning chipmunks in buckets of water, which is really cool. No, stop. I was doing this. And then the priest will say, okay, go say Hail Mary 75 times, do 26 push-ups, 7 set-ups, and 3-finger push-ups. You know, do those things. When you do those things, you're forgiven. That's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. All right? Where do you get your forgiveness from? Jesus, right? Who do you confess your sin to?
Jesus.
Who is the mediator between man and God? So where in the world do these guys with the chiclet on their collar think they go? Right? And come on, church.
Yeah.
Right? Come on.
Yeah.
And that goes for me, too. Listen, a lot of folks say, Pastor, will you pray for my blah, blah? Right? And don't get me wrong, I'll pray for your blah, blah. I will. But what's wrong with you? Why can't you pray for your blah, blah?
Yeah.
Right? Don't you have a relationship with God? You got to come to me? I'm a sinner just like you're a sinner. Confess your sin, get right with God, go before His throne, and He will hear your prayer. You don't need me to pray for you. You need to pray, period.
Amen.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'll pray for you. But don't expect some special thing because I pray for you. I'm a dog. Ruff, ruff. Just like you guys. You know, I'm human. I've come short of the glory of God. And any pastor that says that he hasn't, he is a liar.
Amen.
And pretty soon his pants will be on fire. Hey? So he says these things. He's saying to repent. So Thyatira, he says to hold fast. Sardis, he says, be watchful and strengthen those things that remain. All right? I've skipped ahead in my notes. I'm sorry. Here he says, repent or else I will come quickly and I will fight against thee. I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says of the church. To him that overcometh. Woohoo! You know you can overcome that problem?
You overcome that problem by a righteous understanding of who God is. Do you really want it?
Okay, how many churches have I gone through?
Who wants to hear the rest of this, or do you want to come back next week? Because I'm holding you long here. It's 12:20 right now. Okay? I normally only preach around 2 or 3 o'clock. So if your beans are burning on the grill, you got to go. I understand. But I'm going to ask you, do you want me to finish this or do you want to come back?
Finish.
All right, finish. All right,
yes.
I'm driving. And so he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church in verse 17. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. Who wants to taste some of that? I want, you know, it's everything that your human body could ever need.
Amen.
It was sweet like honey and coriander. And it was everything that you needed.
Amen.
I'd like some of that. I really do. And it says that Jesus was that bread from heaven.
Yes.
Who wants to eat a little bit of Jesus? Amen.
Amen.
I want some of that. I want some of that. But to do that, I've got to be an overcomer. I've got to repent. I've got to get right. I've got to stop worshiping false doctrine. I've got to get away from the stumbling blocks. I've got to do those things. Jesus paid it all, and he paved us a way that is right.
Amen.
There's a job that the church must do in these last days. Oh, he'll give them a name written that no man knoweth. I'll be so glad for that. I'm so bad with names. You know, at least in this time, if you're there, I can say, dude, I don't know your name. It's written in stone, but it's up to you and God. I just love it. I'll call you brother. You know, how you doing, brother? And I do that now. But anyhow, verse 18. He says, and to the angel of the church of Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, whose eyes are like unto fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know your works. All right? I know your charity, your love, your agape, your service, your faith, your patience, and your works. And the last be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I got something against you, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Father's Day, I talked about the woman Jezebel. I talked the spirit of Jezebel and how it is prevalent in the church today. How part of the curse, all right, part of the curse is that women would have a desire for the authority in the man in the house. All right? Women want to rule the roost. All right? And I mean, I love you as part of the curse, all right? So I'm not trying to throw stones at you. There's a lot of things about the curse I don't like. I don't like having to sweat for a living. I really don't. It would be cool if I could walk around the world, out in the woods, and God just give me the things that I need. But because of the curse, thorns, blackberry season's coming up. Aren't they good? They're so good. How many folks here go out and pick blackberries? Do you get some thorn scratches? Imagine if there were no thorns on the blackberry bushes and none but berries, right? And so he says, because of that, he says, listen, that woman Jezebel that comes in, she calls herself a prophetess, all right? And to teach and to seduce the servants, my servants, to commit fornication, to eat those things sacrificed to idols. Well, I'm going to make some folks mad here. Women pastors. Now, I'm not saying that women can't teach. Women absolutely can teach. Women are not allowed to hold the pulpit. All right? Why is that? Because God said so. It's part of the curse. All right? And like I said, there's a lot of things about the curse I don't like. Right? But it doesn't matter if I like it. As you noticed, I ain't God. You know? I didn't make the rules. I just got to live by them. This woman Jezebel, and if you go back to 2 Kings, you'll learn what Jezebel did. First, she overruled her husband, and she caused a stumbling in Israel. Right? She did it because she wanted her way and not Yahweh. He's saying in the church,
There are women running the church. All right? That's the spirit of Jezebel in the church. And he says, you need to get away from that. Now, not that women don't have a place in it. They absolutely do. And I praise God for women in the church. I really do. I thank God for that. I praise God that women read their Bible, right? I praise God that you know you are as filled with the Holy Spirit as I am. But there is a parameter around that put by the Word of God. And we've got to stay inside of His parameter. When we get anything outside of the design of God, it messes up. Just the way that it is. All right? And he says that this church was allowing, they suffered, they put up with this woman, this spirit, this woman of Jezebel. And I know my wife was reading something, the pastor's pen or something like that. I don't really know what it was. And this Baptist pastor said that there is no spirit of Jezebel. All right. I just read in Revelation where he talks about it. All right. So I think that that pastor must be wrong. All right. Because if Jesus said it, I don't care what the pastor said. Jesus said it. So I think that overrules that pastor. And I know that he went through a lot of theological study and he's got a lot of stuff, PhDs, piled high and deep around him on his walls. And so, but God says that this is a real thing. And he's not talking about the physical Jezebel because she died in Kings. All right, we're talking about the Revelation. Several thousand years back, you know, it's been a while, right? And so anyhow, so Jezebel the prophetess, and what does she do? She seduces the servants to commit a fornication. Women think differently than men. They just do. They think, yeah, they think with their hearts. Their emotions. Well, they love each other. So two guys can be okay. They love each other. You know, they're sincere. So I guess that a dude can sleep with a dude. They love each other. All right? That comes from that spirit of Jezebel. All right? What's God say about that? That's an abomination before me. Don't do it. Right? You can live with your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You ain't got to get married. Don't worry about that. God loves you. It's okay. The Bible doesn't teach that, so where's that come from?
The world.
Darkness. Amen. It comes from that spirit of Jezebel. God is love. He'll never judge anybody. Name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. All of those things, that is the core of where this comes from. And he says, listen, the church that puts up with that kind of stuff, he'll give you a space to repent of your fornication, of her fornication, and she repents not. When I am woman, hear me roar. Right? Y'all remember that song from the 70s? I'm woman, hear me roar. See me passed out on your floor. Anyhow, that's not exactly how the one song went, but you know, that ideal that I am woman and I control my domain. No one's going to rule me. I am my own person. I'm a feminist. Right? No, don't get me wrong. Feminism is great. As I said last week, my wife is female. I love femaleness. Femaleness, right? But when that woman that you hear screaming with a pink hat. Right, I see your young people there. With your pink hat on your head. Listen, that's wrong. That is in a lot of the churches today. He says, listen, don't do it. He says, I'll kill her children, and all the churches will know that I am the one who searched the minds, the reins, that's what that means, the reins of the heart. And I will give unto everyone according to their works, according to your works. But I say unto you, and to the rest of Thyatira, who have not this doctrine. So he's saying that the doctrine was wild in that city of Thyatira, but there were some who didn't give into it. Who here will not give in to that? And you know what it takes? It takes a man who loves the Lord. Amen. A man who's willing to do what the Bible says. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, freely giving himself for her. Amen. Are you a man like that?
All right? Because when I got with my wife, when I married her, when we were dating, she was a he-woman, man-haters club kind of gal. You know, she was born and raised right here in Rochester. She was, I am woman. And,
woman.
So,
I'm glad she's not here. She would have whacked me. So,
yeah, she's going to listen to this. And so anyhow, but through love. Through she saw me walking with God. And she learned that she could trust me. I wasn't like the rest of the weenie guys. You know, I wasn't like one of those guys. I said, here's the word of God. I'm going to love you today no matter what you do. Burn the beans, I don't care. I'm going to love you. Don't wash your hair, do wash your hair. Paint your fingernails, tone. I don't care. I'm going to love you the way that Jesus loves me. With all of your perfect imperfections, I'm going to love you just like that. And over the course of time, she learned that as I walked with God, she could trust me.
Amen.
Because I trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Amen.
So you want to kill the spirit of Jezebel in your house, in your church? Walk in love.
Amen.
Right? Love them the way that Christ loved you. Now, so I'm not putting down the ladies here. This is what the Bible says, right? He says, hold fast. He says, has not known this the depths of Satan. I speak, verse 25, but that which I have already, hold fast till I come. See, we need to hold fast to that love until what? Till Jesus comes. You hold fast to that love till Jesus comes. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. How long you got to keep his works? Unto the end. What if you make it 3/4 of the way? Still didn't make it. Got to do it to the end. What if you don't feel like doing it? Too bad. You know, it's not about your feelings, right? You love them till the end. And I will give power over the nations. And he says that we will rule with him, right? And he says in verse 29, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the church of Sardis, he says, I know your works. He knows what's going on. He knows your works. That you have a name that lives, but you're really dead. All right? How many churches today look like they're alive, but they're really dead?
Too many.
Too many. All right? They got a lot of stuff going on. Man, we have this organization in our church. We got that organization in our church. We got a VBS in our church. We got this. We got a 12-piece rock and roll harp kind of band on church. Man, we got all of this stuff. You sure look alive. God says you're really dead.
Amen.
Right? It looks like you're living on the outside. So those walking zombies, you see them on TV.
Oh, I'm here to eat your brain. Those things.
Right? That's in the churches today. It's in the church. And you know what they're here for? To eat your brain. They are. They're to take the holiness of God away from your thoughts, out of your way, and get you involved in the pizzazz. Showbiz. We got to have the smoke in our churches. We got to have the black painted ceilings. We got to have the spotlights. We're going to get a charismatic preacher. And just, you know, he knows all the big words. And he speaks so plain. He never makes mistakes. He never repents of sin. We got to get that guy. And he's so good. He's going to. He's an Olstein. Right?
Yes.
He's an Olstein. And we will fill the stadium. But you'll never hear repent. You'll never hear the righteousness of God. You know, you'll hear a lot of stuff, but you won't be hearing the truth. And he says, to that church, he says, hold fast till I come. I'm in Sardis, right? Yep. Sardis, I know your works. You have a name. Be watchful. Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. He says that this church here is almost at the point of death. The end of time is coming. There's not much gospel being preached anymore. We got 45 minutes of music and 10 minutes of preaching.
Right.
You'll find that that doesn't happen here often. We're not big into the music thing. Praise God, we do music some. But we're not
into the showboat stuff. And so anyhow, he says, strengthen those things. They're ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know the hour I will come unto thee. All right? So Jesus is saying, listen to that church. You're so into the entertainment of it all. You're so into the whiz-bang of it all that you're not looking for my return. You know who's going to see the return of God? Those who are looking for the return of God. I expect him to come. I really do. I expect him to come. I'm looking at the signs that we're seeing around. I'm looking at the things that are happening in Jerusalem. And listen, folks, I'm expecting this little horn rising. I expect him to sign a treaty that we may not know anything about anymore. And it may be already signed. I don't know. There's a lot of treaties signed in the government I know nothing about. Right? And it could, I'm not saying it has, it could have already happened. And we may be so close to the end that if we don't repent, if we don't get right with Jesus, we could miss the call of God. Because we're so entertained. We're so entertained. I'm not entertained. All right, do I am not entertained? I'm sorry. I'll try not to.
If you learn more with laughing.
Right. Amen. He says, he that overcomes shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. All right. Now, catch these words real carefully. So what if you're not doing the things that he wants to? If you're not the overcomer. So if you take that and you put a little twist to it, if you're not that, will God blot your name out of the book of life? Does he have the power to do that? Can God blot your name out? Well, he says in the beginning of the book of the Revelation, if you add to or take away from the word of this prophecy, I will blot your name out. So does that mean that you were saved and then God took your name out of the book? Study it out. Amen. I could tell you my opinion. But my opinion is just like yours. Amen. And I ain't got time to unwrap that before you. Right? So anyhow, he says, and if you do these things, he that is an overcomer, he shall be clothed in white and white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. But I will confess him before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the church. What did you hear about the church of Sardis? Are you preparing for yourself there? This church of Philadelphia, man, I wish all the churches were like this church. He doesn't have nothing bad to say about you. Amen? There's nothing bad written here about that church. He says, listen, I know your works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, those which say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet. So, get right with God. Hold on to the love that he has. He says, I know your works. He's opened the door for you. And if you're there, if God is calling you to his righteousness, who's going to stop it? Nobody. Nobody is. He sent the open door. Nobody can shut it. And if it's shut, nobody can open it. That's pretty plain. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to that which thou hast, take thy crown. He that overcometh, thou will come and make him a pillar. That's not something you sleep on. I sleep on pillar. This is actually something that's a column. I'll make you a pillar, a column in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Then this last church, Laodicea. And praise God, last church, right? I'm sorry, sort of. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Church, this ought to just ring in your ears in this last time. Are you on fire for Jesus or not? He says, I will spew you. The New King James, and my problem is I learned most of the Bible from the New King James Version, and it says vomit. All right, and so I came up with that. Personally, I like the word vomit you out of my mouth much better than spew. You know, because vomit to me has a different meaning, connotation. Yeah, it's a little bit more from the gut.
Violent.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, it's just, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because the church has gone to different doctrines, because the church has not believed in the name of the one true God and held on to those truths, because the church got more entertained and less preaching, because the church got comfortable, right? You know, God never called you to comfort. He didn't call you to be comfortable. In fact, he said be uncomfortable, right? Because the church did that, and you got lulled into this half in, half out. He says, because you're half in and half out, I have no use for you. You're vomit to me. I would prefer if you were hot or you were cold. Make up your mind. If you're a Christian, then be Christian. If you're holy, then be holy. And if you're not, don't be. See, the people that come to the churches and say, I'm all born again, I'm holy, I'm right, I'm just, and they don't live like that, you know whose name they're hurting? God's. Because you are an ambassador of Christ. And when the ambassador of a nation comes and doesn't live like he respects his nation, then those people who see him don't really mock him too much. They say, what a crummy nation he must be. He's from like the worst nation in the world. If you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ, part of the living church, then by George, you ought to act like it. You ought to live holy. You ought to be righteous. And I'm not saying sinless, but absolutely you can sin less. Right? You'll never be sinless in this body, but you can make up your mind to be holy because he is holy. You can make up your mind to walk in the fullness of God because his fullness dwells in you. He has empowered you to be his hands, his feet in this time that you're in. Full of love, full of grace, full of power, full of might, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And what has happened in this last time, we have turned away from that righteousness of God and allowed too much of the world to come in. And we think we're right. We think we're holy. It says in verse 17, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have no need of nothing. And and knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked? See those churches? Man, what do I have need of? We have 27 acres of property out here. We seat 750,000 people. Right? What do I need? I don't need nothing from God. I got all the gold that I can ever spend. I got two brand new Cadillacs. No, I don't. I got an old truck. But I got two brand new Cadillacs. I got a tour bus that I go around with. And people pay me thousands of dollars to come and speak to them. What do I need of God? I don't need the Holy Spirit. I got a jet airplane. Two. One for me, one for my wife. Says his and hers. Right? Those people, they think they got it all. They don't even realize that they're miserable, that they're blind, that they're naked, that they have absolutely nothing. You might have all the riches of this world, everything this world can offer you, and you don't have Jesus Christ, you are worthless.
Amen.
Because everything you have on this earth, guess where it's staying? Right here. There are no U-Hauls that follow a hearse. Right? Everything you earn, those who die with the most toys still die. Right? And you leave all of your toys.
Naked you came into this world, and naked you're going to leave it. Even though you got a nice suit in the box. Right? When you die, you ain't bringing none of that with you. Jesus says, now I counsel thee, I'm giving you instruction to buy that, buy from me, buy from Christ, gold that's tried with fire. Go through some purification. They take the gold and they bring it into this vat, this furnace, and they melt it down. And the impurities rise to the top. It's called dross. And he takes and he scrapes that dross away, that the pureness of the gold might shine through. God's asking the church in this day, in this time, right now, what should we do? Stay in the fire. Mm-hmm. Stay in the fire with your own free will. Allow the temperature to be turned up and allow that garbage that is in you, that self-sufficiency, allow that to come up to the top and let God scrape it off. Because it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. I would rather lose everything in this world and gain God than lose God and gain everything in this world. So to sum it all up, to bring it all back together again, Ephesus, he says, for the church. Now, these seven here are all one thing. He says, repent and turn to your first love. Second is, be ready to suffer. Third, be faithful to death. Keep away from idols and sexual impurities. All right? Come out of that spirit, Jezebel, and hold fast till Jesus comes. Be watchful. Strengthen the things that remain. All right? Keep his word. Keep the word of God. Never deny his name. And then stop trusting in this world's wealth and riches.
Amen.
So what should the church do today? Well, this. You ought to do the Bible. Amen? Be holy because he is holy. Be set apart. Be called. And the church is really, really weak today because Christians, the church, the ecclesia, the people of God, aren't applying the word of God in their life in a way that's effective to the lost and dying people around us.
I believe it's because people will not surrender.
Amen.
Totally.
Yeah.
And if you don't surrender your life totally to God, you can't make it.
You can't make it. You're right. If we don't surrender totally to God,
if
we don't, amen. Praise God. Well, let's go. All right, I've said a lot. I've talked for almost 2 hours, okay? I've said a lot. Do y'all have any questions? Since I got you here anyhow, y'all got any questions? Male, female, don't matter. I know women are supposed to be quiet in the church, but I love you.
No, I think that was because they were asking questions. And
yeah, kind of like what you're doing. But anyhow, go ahead, my brother.
Like I do.
This is verse 10 of chapter 3.
Yep.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation.
Yes.
Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are we kept from? Specifically.
If you keep the word of God, you will not be touched by the powers of this world.
Right. You'll be surrendered.
You'll be
totally
surrendered.
And you're safe.
Right. So that doesn't mean that you won't have the trials of this world, all right? Because you're going to have those. He says it throughout the rest of the scripture there. But you will be kept from the permeating trials of this world, the one that comes in you.
Is that passage not about the tribulation?
Yes.
It's about the church being
it's talking about the true tribulation period. All right, not because in this world you're going to have tribulation.
Right, but the seven-year tribulation, right?
Three and a half.
So the great tribulation.
The great tribulation. And we can get into that a little bit deeper on, I think, men's study or, you know. Yes, my brother.
I think for me before, like I've been, you know, born again for years and I've been backsliding all my life. But I think when the time came to where I surrendered all to God, I just didn't give about anything anymore.
Amen.
I just gave it all to him.
Yeah.
Doing his will and just went about him.
Yeah.
Know? There you
go. Before, I was always worrying about what I was going to do here and what I was going to do there.
Yes.
And I came to the point in my life that I just gave it all to him. And just
there you go.
There you go.
When you do that, when you let go and allow God to be the Lord.
You feel more relieved and you feel
Yes. Absolutely. I ain't got to worry about all this stuff. Go ahead.
And the peace that passes all understanding mm-hmm. to our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Where about in this whole timeline of things? I think you had said last week about a year in.
That's me thinking, because I don't know when he's going to come. What I see with the things that are happening, we could already be in that tribulation period. We really could, because the things at the temple are already ready, right? They've got 12, I think it was 12 red heifers, bona fide red heifers for 3 years now that have none of that. They have all of the implements for the temple already ready. The peace treaties and the wars and stuff that are going on right now. And like I said, it starts with this signing of a peace treaty, all right? And we don't know when that's going to, it doesn't say that we'll know that. What we will know is when that, the little horn, the Antichrist, comes in and he sits down in the throne room of God and proclaims himself to be God. We'll see, I believe that the church will see that happening. And that's, as I said before, everything happens like a clock to God. It goes in certain, this thing happens and then these things happen. This thing happens and these things happen.
The temple has to be built.
But how long will that take?
Probably 6 months.
If that much, right? Right? It won't take long, right? It won't take long to build the temple. And then they got plenty of room on the Temple Mount even now. So they could build the temple quick as they get the bulldozers in. And it doesn't have to be this great elaborate thing. Right? I mean, we have the Temple of Solomon in our mind, right?
I think you'd throw it up in weeks.
Amen. Remember the tabernacle? It was a tent, right? It could be as simple as a tent. We don't know. What we do know is that all of the implements will be there. The Ark of the Covenant will be there. The candelabras will be there. The showbread will be there. The altar of incense will be there. How, if it's on, they put it on wheels, how long does it take to get there?
How do we know that it hasn't already happened? The media's not telling you.
Well, he makes a covenant with many.
Right.
That doesn't mean that we have to know.
No,
right.
No, I'm talking about the temple being started.
Being started, yeah. We don't know. We don't know, because you're right, the media's not going to tell you.
The world's against them.
Won't we also be seeing, though, the signs and wonders
of we're seeing that.
The works of God, and through the grace of God upon us. You don't do this alone by your own strength.
Right.
Because the power of God.
Mm-hmm. Stronger. Yeah. Well, in the church, the power of God will be stronger and stronger. But remember, there's also a great falling away at the same time. And then that son of perdition will be known. He'll come out. So we'll see a separation, as Jesus talked in the parable, the separation between the wheat and the tares. All right, they grow together until the end times, and then God sends his angel there, and he brings the tares takes the tares out and brings the wheat into his barn. Right? It will see a separation between the real church, those who will not forsake the assembly, regardless of what the government says.
Right?
I see right now there is a separation between the real church and the rest of the so-called church, right? So are we seeing that already? And the ones that are coming, they are strong. You're talking about being filled and strong in the Holy Spirit and having a boldness to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. You see that in the real church. The other ones are cowering in a corner, wearing masks. You know? And I'm go ahead, sister.
That's okay. I didn't want to interfere. I just had a question on chapter 2, verse 10 that you had read earlier regarding the tribulation 10 days. Why 10 days?
I don't know.
Okay.
There's a lot of things in the Revelation I don't know. There's 7 utterances that is kept back from John. I don't know that either.
I mean, there may be 10
it may
days.
Be. It might be when you are, so when you're arrested for the gospel of Jesus Christ, you'll go and you'll have 10 days, and then you'll be murdered. All right? It could be just that quick. My brother.
I think Noah was on the ark a year and 10 days.
Yeah. Yeah, could have been.
10 days?
A year and 10 days.
A year and 10 days.
But anyhow, so there's a lot of things. I mean, as far as the 10 days, and this is just me saying this, there's no biblical proof. I do know that there's 10 days of tribulation that they'll have to put up with, and then they'll be gone away with. All right, it could be as simple as being arrested on Monday and then
maybe
10
the
days
Lord
from Monday.
Say, hey, persevere for 10 days.
Yeah, all you got to do is,
you know, with teeth through a glass darkly,
right,
face to face.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in that day we're going to see face to face and understand.
Absolutely.
10 days.
Yeah.
Hold on, Kevin.
Hold on.
10 days.
It's just 10 days.
Well, it says here the 10 periods of persecution from Nero to deceleration. A crown.
That's
of
the
life.
Dispensational. Things that were talked about by
it also refers to a crown of life, a reward for the one who is faithful under trial or under death. James 1:12 and Corinthians 3:14.
Mm-hmm. And there is a crown of life, you know. You hold on to your faith. But be careful of that dispensational doctrine that showed up in the 1830s, okay? Mm-hmm. Be careful of that. Mm-hmm. You know, that teaching that you're speaking of.
Selecting.
Yes. That teaching that you're talking about there, they say that each one of these churches actually represent a time-space period. All right? That this, all these things happen during this ruler, and all these things happen during this ruler, and all these things happen during that ruler. Which there may be a lot of things that coalesce together with that. But what Jesus is talking, or I believe what Jesus is talking, he's talking to the church, and that there are certain characteristics of the time that we will see, of falling away, all right, and you'll be more prevalent in our last age that we're living in than it was when it was written. Jesus talked about the whole layout, the things that are, the things which shall, the things that are, things that will be. That is the first part of the Revelation. Pardon? Things to come. That's it. Yeah. The things that are, the things that, no, that will be, and things to come.
There are things that are, things
yeah,
that are to come.
That's it. Yeah. And so I'm not doubting that, because there's some validity to that in real history.
Well, I don't know. I'll just read
what the commentary
is.
Says. Yep. And that commentary was done by Doctor Who.
Doctor Who?
The commentaries are written by men, right? And all men, we don't know, all right? Amen.
The last thing I want to ask you, already in light of persecution, you were talking about persecution.
Yes.
Governor of California is already telling people not to sing.
Yes, I heard that.
So that's kind of what part of it, I think.
So the governor in California, I just saw this, and this is real news, it ain't fake news. The governor in California says it's illegal to sing in church.
Yes.
You can come to church, but you can't sing.
We'll see.
Yeah. Well, he must have heard us sing. We can't sing, but we make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Singing.
Yeah. And so keep singing. And so praise God. Any other thoughts before we close, my brother?
Isn't the temple supposed to be rebuilt where that Muslim, where that mosque is? Forget the name of it.
That is part of the Temple Mount.
Yeah.
But the Temple Mount is big enough to have both. I mean, and it really could. I mean, how hard would it be for Israel to come in with a bulldozer and knock that thing down?
No problem.
No problem. Especially when the Antichrist comes and signs a peace treaty. Oh, yeah. There's enough room. They don't have to bulldoze anything down. There's enough space there. Because, again, it doesn't have to be this huge spot. We have this idea that it's going to be this hecta-acre spot. It's going to just take up like the Solomon's Temple. And it doesn't have to be that. Remember the temple in the wilderness, the tabernacle. It wasn't huge. You could pack it up in a day. You know? And so... I don't have all the answers, and I don't know for sure that this is, it might be another 120 years. I don't know if it's going to be take that long. I think we're really closer to the end than what we believe, than what we've been taught. And I truly believe that the church is going to have to go through a large portion, or at least half, of what is considered the 7 years of Daniel, the 7 years of tribulation.
The trip.
The trip, yeah. And so... But the way I teach, I want to teach you to go the whole way. All right? And the reason that I teach it that way, that if I prepare you to run If you're running a 5 mile race, I'm going to prepare you to run a 10 mile race, so the 5 mile race will be easy, right? But if I only teach you to run a 4 mile race for a 5 mile race, you're going to fall short because you won't be prepared, right, my brother?
I think Job 14:12 is a real good verse if you want to know when the rapture is.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's 14:12. Yeah, so.
Yeah, look that up, Job 14:12. Anybody curious?
Yeah. And so one thing I do know is we don't know the day and we don't know the hour. What I do know is that we're commanded throughout the scripture to be ready. To be ready. To be prepared. Whenever that last, well, actually, Jesus said on the last day.
Right.
How many days are the last day?
One.
One. The last trumpet, how many last trumpets are there?
One.
And they happen at the same time. You know? So, you know, it's at the last day at the last trumpet. So what am I going to be prepared for? I'm going to be prepared for six seals. I'm going to be prepared for six trumpets. I'm going to be prepared for all of it. And if I don't have to go through it all, glory to God. You know? But if I do have to go for it all, I want to have my lunch packed. Right? I want to have whatever it's going to take to get from the beginning all the way to the end. And if I don't make it, if I don't have to go to the end, I was ready anyhow. Right? Because I don't know when it's going to be. I can't tell you. I do know that it is closer now than it's ever been before. Right?
Every day
is a one day closer, right? And I know that there is a time that is set for this. And it is set. And when that time comes, when God closes the door, that's it. Jesus said in November. God said it will be like it was in the days of Noah. They were marrying, eating, and drinking, living life like everyday life until God shut the door. There will come a time that God will shut the door. How many souls were saved?
Eight.
Everybody else on the world drowned. Who's going to be ready when it happens? I don't know. Eight maybe? I don't think God's going to have to bring a big bus. And now I really don't. Because I think a lot of the churches, as we saw in the Revelation here, are not prepared. They're not reading. They're not living. They're not holy. They're given over to doctrines of devils. And they're not standing. And God says, there were a lot of lukewarm churches. God says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. If you're vomit, I don't bring my vomit with me. Right? Well, I'm going to bring this one. I'm going to need that later. No, you get rid of that garbage. And a lot of the churches he was talking about are lukewarm, vomit. How about you? That's where it really boils down to. I don't want to pick on religions. I don't want to pick on church places. I don't want to pick on anybody. I want you, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, to be ready.
Amen.
To be ready, to be prepared, to go, to make it through the race, not just into the race. A lot of people start, very few finish. And I want us to finish well.
Amen.
Right?
Can you pray for us?
Yes!
Another question.
Okay.
So those churches you're speaking about, those the churches that are going to have to go through the whole tribulation, right? The whole tribulation, those churches?
Which?
The lukewarm churches.
The lukewarm? Actually, whoever doesn't die, they'll go through the full tribulation, but they'll still go to hell.
Yeah.
All right? Because they didn't trust in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
So they can't get saved?
No. How many folks got saved after the door was closed? Yeah. How many folks got saved after the door was closed? None.
When Jesus comes back, though, he's coming for his bride.
Yes, right.
But isn't there an opportunity still to get saved?
There is a, not in the church way of salvation, there's 144,000 Hebrew males plus two, all right, that are preaching the acceptable day of the Lord. But in that, I don't know how many people actually come to repentance. I do know that the 144,000 plus two All right? Those are the two witnesses in Jerusalem. They'll be part of the people of Christ. I don't know if anybody gets saved from the preaching. I don't know if anybody gets saved from this preaching. You know? And the Holy Spirit right now is still alive and well in the church, on this planet. But there comes a time that God's going to shut the door and no other soul will be saved. When that is, I don't know.
That should make us be like wanting to.
We need to be, amen, sister. We need to be on fire.
Yes.
Repent and do the first works. Amen. Go ahead, one more.
Just to confirm, so we are the seventh church?
Oh, no, I don't know that.
All the churches.
I think in every church, even in this church, right here, we got a little bit of Ephesus in us. We got a little bit of Pergamos in us. We got some Sardis in us. We got some Laodiceas in us, right? Jesus said, I planted the good seed. It started growing up. The enemy came in at night. He planted the tares. Let them grow together until the end. So even in this group right here, there's some tares among us.
It's an individual
thing. It's an individual thing. And so praise God. My goodness, seven. Let's see, we started 9, 10, 11, 12, 1. Praise God. That's a good day at church. Amen? That's a good day at church. Here, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you, Lord God, for your goodness and your righteousness. Father, as we have, as best as we could, opened up the Word of God and looked into it, I pray that you have touched men's hearts today, Father. And those questions that are still out there, that still remain, those still unknown things, Lord, that you would illuminate those to us. Help us to ask by faith and that you would show it to us. And even if we don't know, help us be ready, right? Help us be ready. Help us to love others. Help us to die to ourselves. Help us to be holy because you're holy. Help us to repent, Father. Help us, Lord God, to be those overcomers that will receive from you that saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Father, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Love you guys.